Welcome to the Friday edition of the Lowdown. This is a last-minute show because of what happened yesterday. We've made a change to our schedule this morning, and the governor's mandates that have been coming down over the last couple of days, and things are changing really quickly. There's so much information that needs to go out to the community. A lot of folks from our community decided they really needed to get in and be able to share this with the community. So in the studio with me, I have Sarah Phillips from the Chamber, Amy Williams from Discover Kodiak, John Whidden from the Economic Task Force. On the video conference, we have the director of the ESC, Mike Twangy, Francis De La Fuente, and Bianca Clark from the ESC. They're all there. Thank you all for taking time out of your mornings to come in and help the public out with this. Let's just dive right into it. Today was supposed to be the day, and things are happening, and people are confused.
Right, absolutely. This confusion is stemming from mandates both 16 and 17, with just a whole bunch of addendums that are added to those. Primarily, it is impacting and telling our businesses, go ahead, open for business. Now, it's easy to hear our businesses are open and go ahead, but there are so many restrictions attached to this, both through Mandate 16, 17, and all the amendments, or addendums, I apologize, addendums.
Attachments.
Gosh, they're all, yes.
Okay, Mike, let's roll it to you first. You know, as of earlier this week, Kodiak was going to be on their own. We were going to be able to slow the process down that was happening at the state and use our local powers to roll the whole opening up out in a more orderly fashion. And then some of these mandates started coming out and seems to have changed your plan, right?
That's correct, Mike. You know, the governor's been saying all along that local governments can control their own reopening. And we've been following that message, and we have a plan in place for Kodiak. And then when the Mandate 16 came out, there was a preemption of local mandates. And I'll read that for the public here is, business operations and other activities permitted to operate under this mandate may not be prohibited by local, municipal, or tribal mandate, directive, resolution, ordinance, regulation, or other order. So what that meant to us then is that we couldn't control our own reopening of our businesses, and we confirmed that, and then that got withdrawn last night. So less than 24 hours, that restriction was withdrawn. But what the Emergency Operations Center had in place is our own business reopening mitigation plan instruction template, where we originally planned to, and we're going to continue it now that we know we're back in our own court. We are going to issue this information to the businesses. It's available through the PIO. And what it is it helps businesses understand how they can reopen. Our purpose of this mitigation plan was to educate the businesses and the public prior to an opening. Our scheduled opening was for May 1st. Now that the governor has said, you know, the barn door is open right now, businesses are open, but we're still encouraging the public businesses to reach out to the Emergency Operations Center, receive this template, and file that with the Emergency Operations Center safety chief, and then they'll be understanding on how their business could be operating safely, and the customers that frequent those businesses will have a storefront logo put up that shows that they've submitted and received a mitigation plan. So it's just an assurance to the customers that these businesses are ready for business.
My understanding through the whole process was that the state was going to allow the municipalities to roll things out at their own timeline. And, you know, there was a lot of discussion about if the state was going to allow certain areas of the state to be open today, that even the large Anchorage was going to make people wait for a few days while they put all these protocols into place. So now And if we were still another week out from that, now we're forced into a place where we're going to, according to the governor, certain areas are going to be allowed to open up without having gone through the process of filing these plans.
I think it's unfortunate, really. The direction on that preemption was unfortunate to our community, and without notice. That's the disappointment there. So we worked hard yesterday to make some adjustments, but now we're back where we were prior to that withdrawal of the preemption, and businesses are starting to open up in Kodiak. Some are still on a wait and see, but we're following the state's mandates on what businesses can be open. And we're just asking the businesses locally to come in or request the mitigation plan. It's a simple form. It just is more educational than anything. And continue to be open if you're allowable to be open. But fill this form out and understand the safety protocols that are within the mandate. So what we're doing is more educational. It's not onerous on any business. It's really simple, and I think it just brings assurances back to our community that we're keeping the public safe.
Okay, so if I'm understanding you correctly, the governor was going to open up the state in phases, and phase two isn't scheduled for some time until next week. So now, if we were going to open phase one May 1st, the barn doors open on phase one now in Kodiak. So the massage parlors and the tattoo parlors and the hair salons and the restaurants are the only businesses really that the barn door is open for now. Is that right?
I'm not sure if all of those are open right now, but there are several businesses that are allowable under the first mandate.
Well, as I'm reading through these mandates, though, it doesn't really seem like it's or the protocols to comply. It isn't like something that you can just fill out some paper for. You really have to spend a lot of time actually thinking about how your business operates to be able to and have all the supplies on hand. If you have to go clean surfaces every hour, how are you going to do that? I mean, we can get into the nitty-gritty of some of the requirements, but, you know, this isn't one of those things where the governor's just saying, oh, we're open for business now, just here, file this quick little form and you can open.
That's why we wished it would have been more educational in the forefront. You know, and opening your business is a personal decision, so they should be comfortable with that. So that's why our message is educational. We fully want the businesses to get back in online and the public being able to use their services. But, you know, we're fortunate that we've only had one corona case in Kodiak. We're trying to keep it there. So our message is not to go out without some of these safety precautions. You'll be surprised that some of the requirements require all patrons to wear a mask.
Yeah.
When they enter a store, retail store.
Well, let's get down to the nitty-gritty a little bit. You two are into the nitty-gritty. You've been dealing with it for a couple of days, and it shows with your hairstyle.
Oh, so rude.
Maybe no, you're just talking light. About all our new gray hairs that have popped up.
That was hot.
I was talking about you, John.
Man, no, that was low.
Good thing this is radio. Goodness.
So, yeah, we do have a few key points we want to get out there to our businesses. The first of which is exactly what Mike's been touching on, which is businesses need a mitigation plan. And those mitigation plans can get really complicated really fast. The PIO has done a great job of getting a template available. People can also reach out to the chamber with additional assistance in how to fill this out and get some additional drafts from other businesses that have gotten those accepted so that they can see just a very simple, straightforward plan on exactly the kind of things to do. Now, it's also very important that our businesses know this is not a one-size-fits-all template. Mitigation plans are very personal to the business that you have, and you do need to fit the certain attachments that are included in the mandates. And so a lot of our different businesses have different attachments that they have to very specifically hone in on. And some of those businesses are going to be things like childcare facilities, fishing charters, gyms, lodging, retail, restaurants, personal care services, which we're talking about are salons, massages, things like that. And then we also have both public-facing businesses and non-public-facing businesses that are non-essential. Each of those have different restrictions that they need to follow.
You know, stop there. I read that and I went, what does that mean? For somebody that hasn't really thought it through, you're going, what do you mean by a public-facing business?
A public-facing business is an area where the public literally comes in and visits
and
you.
And faces you.
Yes, absolutely. So the visitor center is a non-essential public-facing business. It does not need to be open during when everything was shut down, but it is a public-facing business. So we will have a lot of different people coming through our space when we do open. So that's a good definition of that.
Give me the opposite one, though. What's a non-public
opposite
facing?
Would be someone operating a business potentially out of their own home where they don't have people coming to visit. So people don't just stop by and walk in. Those are non-public-facing businesses.
Well, it could also be something similar to like an attorney's office or a CPA.
Yes, exactly.
Where you don't have high volumes of customer traffic. So businesses that might have been closed up until now because they felt that they fell under the non-essential can now reopen. So it's basically where you don't have a customer interaction with a checkout counter.
Gotcha. So for the person out there in the community, they're going to have to go find the attachment that applies to what they're trying to do and read those guidelines in addition to reading some other stuff too.
That's exactly right.
Well, if the if all businesses turn in a mitigation plan and they are able to put that form on their front door saying we've been checked out or our mitigation plan has been accepted by the EOC, that takes a lot of the reading responsibility off of the individual consumer. So if we go out and we know that everyone is required to wear a cloth, non-medical grade face mask when you go into any business, and you'll see that the employees there are doing the same, you're going to know that they're following the rules just because that's mm-hmm. the way the mandates are laid out. But that there's a check, a form that the city has made in the mitigation plan. You'll see it on businesses once their mitigation plans are accepted. It has a big green circle with a white check mark on it. Hopefully we'll start, it'll be like our spring, we'll start seeing them pop up all over businesses. And that kind of takes the onus off of the consumer because you know that that business has complied.
And this, I think there's an even simpler way to describe it, at least the way I see it, is there's two areas of responsibility. The businesses have a responsibility to identify how they can provide a safe working environment. And that's what the mitigation plan does. And when it's posted, it becomes a public recognition of that. But then also the customers have a responsibility on how they interact in a store. So it's not, the onus isn't all on the individual businesses. Customers have a responsibility. So when they go into a store, they have to maintain that separation still. They have to wear a mask. When they go into the non-essential businesses, they have to maintain that social distancing. So I think it's really important that we just look at it, the whole mix. And I think part of the economic task force efforts has been to really understand the pressures and the needs of businesses. And obviously there's a huge desire for a lot of business to get back into operation again because of the financial burden that's constraints being put on them are really, really sensitive. I know the EOC has been tuned into this, but I think it's important to understand too that financial need can't come at the risk of public safety. So I think this is a blending of a way to mitigate the public safety concerns, but also the need for businesses to restart their operation. So I think it's just important that we all, both customers and businesses, work together to make this successful.
Does this then back apply to the businesses that have already been open? I mean, it seems like the requirements on the businesses that are now going to open are more onerous than they are on businesses that are already open.
Yes, that's you're absolutely right that our newly opening businesses are under very stringent requirements. You're right.
And most of the major corporate entities have already done business mitigation plans. That hasn't been publicized. It's not like this we're talking now, but I mean, Safeway, Walmart have identified those. If you're in a Safeway right now, you'll see lines going in different directions. There's
and
markings.
Plexiglass.
And plexiglass. Mm-hmm. So they've actually done that. And so we're asking the smaller businesses who aren't corporate, you know, to operate. They don't have the administrative HR support that the major corporate entities do, but we're asking them to do something that fits the scale of their business.
I guess what I'm saying is you have businesses like Max and Sutliff's and Walmart and Safeway where there's voluntary mask compliance, mm-hmm. you know, and social distancing if you're a business and you're trying to open now, unless somebody has a mask on, they can't come in the door.
I think the overall intent of this is that the customer, the consumers, the patrons of all businesses wear masks, whether or not they've been open or not. So if I want to say Kodiak Furniture has been open and Artinger's has not, so it's not like you don't have to wear a mask to one furniture store and then do have to wear a mask to another furniture store. No. You should be wearing, as a customer, you should know your social distancing protocol. You should know about your hand sanitizer and washing your hands. And you should be wearing a cloth. I keep saying it, non-medical grade face mask. Because that's a big distinction, but that you should just do that everywhere. So that it's not like you have to like, oh, well, I'm going to this business and I don't have to wear it, but then as soon as I drive over to this business, I do. The standard should be just do until that standard goes away.
Right.
There's some requirements, some specific requirements, like for a restaurant, for instance, where, you know, you monitor people at the door as they come in and say, you know, do you have any symptoms? And now you can't come in if you have any symptoms. That seems to be just an added burden onto maybe a necessary one for everybody's protection, but it just goes to show how much is required of the businesses to comply with the plan so that they're opening safely.
That's right.
And I'm wondering about, you know, how much sanitizer we have in the community to be able to comply so that everybody has this stuff so that they can be in compliance.
You're absolutely right. This is why we wanted to be here so quickly today. This is why we wanted to address these concerns because, again, like I said, some of our businesses heard, you can open today, and that's what they've done. But there's so much more to that. Our businesses really need to be aware of the very specific attachments and the requirements within those attachments that impact their business. So if they aren't able to comply with the requirements in those attachments, they're not ready to open.
Okay, well, let's talk about some of those issues. What are the things that you've been getting questions for 2 days, probably. Let's talk about some of the common questions you've been getting.
One of the common questions I've heard so far is, I don't operate within the city. Do I still have to do this? The answer is yes. Everyone does. So this is a state mandate. This is not a local city ordinance. Everyone needs to comply statewide. So that's number one. Again, a lot of this has just been not very specific questions within each of the attachments, but general. And so I'm not the end all be all source for yes, you can do this, no, you can't. So the people they need to reach out to are the public information office. And so for very specific questions, they can email or they can call in. That phone number is 486-8970. And mitigation plans can be emailed to safety@city.kodiak.ak.us. So very specific questions. When you get into this, and the template that the city, that the PIO has made does direct to very specific attachments that say, okay, for this section, businesses, you need to be aware of these attachments. So read these. Okay, next section applies to these specific attachments. This is what you should be reading and be aware of. And so That's gonna spur questions. It absolutely is. So the PIO is available to answer those questions and help make sure you're in that compliance wherever you can be.
One other thing I think I'd heard too, we mentioned earlier, was that the EOC is an island-wide emergency response.
Right.
Just because you have a city.kodiak.akus email address, it doesn't mean this is strictly related to just city boundary constraints. So this is island-wide. And the city manager is the emergency services director, head of the EOC, but for reasons that's in charter and everything else. But it still applies to the entire island, certainly on the road system.
So it sounds like an enormous amount of load on what the amount of information that the EOC's had to put out. I mean, are you there 24 hours to answer the phone, Bianca? Or
We're here during the day from anywhere about 8:30 to 9, and then we're here until 5:36, and then we take messages through our EOC Facebook page day and night. We're monitoring our email around the clock, so folks can contact us at any time. And any time that somebody calls and does not reach us, if you leave a voicemail, that's going to shoot us an email, and we can listen to that from anywhere. So we really encourage folks, if you don't get through on the first try, please leave us a message. We will call you back as soon as we are off of the phone and that message comes through. So we want to be here for everybody to answer as many questions as we can. So please call, email, shoot us a message on Facebook, and we'll get back to you.
So the IT load must be pretty heavy, too. I mean, if you're saying that all this information is attached to what's there, I was there yesterday, but then more stuff was getting added in throughout the night. So do you have the IT capacity to be able to keep up to date with all these things that are changing?
We've got several people that are IT specialists. So we typically have two that are, their sole purpose is information technology. And then we have several other EOC staff that are very capable.
Okay. So, Bianca, what kind of questions have you been getting? Are you getting the same kind of questions that Sarah's been getting?
Yeah, so far I would say most folks are really just wanting to get a hold of that mitigation plan template that the EOC put together. So many of the questions we're getting are focused on that. Folks are wanting to be compliant with putting together that plan that's been mandated, and they're wanting our template to kind of guide them. So most of the questions we've gotten specific to this topic are just on that. How can we get a hold of that template? Who can help answer the questions specific to my business? And we've just been fielding those as best we can and trying to give people as much support as possible.
Mike, I can help people find more information and that template. So the Kodiak Economic Task Force has a website. You can find it at kodiakeconomictaskforce.com. Long name, awesome resource. When you get to that homepage, on the top left corner, there's a small business tab. So businesses that are looking to reopen and need information can just click on that. Right on the top of that page is information about Health Mandate 16. We created an entire page just on this one mandate that lists all the attachments D through M, and then it specifically lays out all of attachment E for retail businesses and F for restaurants, because those are the ones that we're getting the most questions about right now. So those entire attachments, Sarah's giving me problems here, attachments are laid out on that page. And then all of the links to the CDC protocols for cleaning, everything you need is right there. And also the link to that template that Bianca just told us about from the city. Also the email address of where you can send that template in. And just a quick word on the template, it's actually a Microsoft document, so they've made it just as easy as can be. You just open it up and type your information right in. And so the tools are there, and it's all right. It's on the city website if you go to their COVID-19 information, and it's on this website. So there are many places you can find it.
And just a quick note, too, while businesses are completing these mitigation templates and sending them in, they can't expect instantaneous acceptance of their plan, but they will receive notice that that plan was received. So obviously, we know there's going to be a huge influx of these plans coming into PIO. They're not going to be able to review them all instantaneously, but they are able to at least let you know they received them, and they will continue to work with you on that plan throughout the course of all these phases of opening.
So that leads to a good question. What happens when the plan goes in then? Does the green check mark go on the door because you filed the plan?
Once it's been accepted, it does.
Okay. But acceptance doesn't necessarily mean compliance, does it? I mean, you're sort of trusting that whoever filled in the document is doing the right things in their business.
Well, I think that's the goal of all businesses in the community, is to protect the public and their employees. So we've got very good compliance so far.
Okay.
I think there's another way to look at it, too, is that there's only so much can be done because there's so many different businesses and different types of businesses and different hours, different products, services, whatever they might offer. But ultimately, we believe the customer is going to, I think, dictate the success of that plan. You know, if you walk into a business and it's crowded with people and you don't feel comfortable, you'll turn around and walk out.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be one of the, I think, the regulating factors on the success of this reopening. Like, I think a lot of people, quite frankly, and we've talked about it, you know, are you willing to go, and I'm sorry to say it, to a restaurant right now, and with, you know, you can't wear a mask, so how does that work out? You can only sit with family members. You have to, there's some businesses right now, I think, that people have just created, there's such a heightened state of anxiety about this, that it's going to be difficult to get back to whatever the new normal is. So I think that individual customer, we hope that people will get back and do these things really quickly, but I think, again, I think that just the customer interaction is going to regulate a lot of this activity.
Since we're on restaurants, and that's part of phase one, you know, we had a couple of questions about that. Are people who are wanted to know how the group works. You know, if you have to be so far away from other people in a restaurant, unless you're in a family group, what's considered a family group now? There's particularly some fishermen who are quarantined together, for instance. Is that considered a family group?
I don't believe so. I think it's immediate family.
Okay.
That attachment specifically says household members.
Household members. Okay. So, again, just to kind of slow things down a little bit, if we're complying with the governor's phase in of things now, really the only businesses that should be considering opening right now are the ones that fit under phase one, right?
Yes.
And when are we going to talk about phase two? When do those businesses get to go online?
Well, in the next 2 weeks, we're going to assess how this is working in our community. And, you know, we're going to be looking at data from our public health officials and working with our hospital and make sure that we're still in this safe zone, I would call it, that we can continue to open up. That's why this was intended to be a slow rollout. And, you know, it, like I'm hearing from the participants this morning, is the public has to be comfortable, and once we're all comfortable, this is going to start expanding more and more, and once the businesses are comfortable, they'll be opening up. Our point again is education and safety of our community. I'll put a plug in. We've got 400 masks available at 11 o'clock for those that want to pick one up at the Gerald C. Auditorium entrance. So there's masks available today, and they will be available again on Monday. So Monday and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., swing by and pick up a mask for you or your family.
Okay. Yeah.
So I did just want to mention a couple other things. Health Mandate 16, the Alaska Chamber of Commerce is having a webinar this afternoon at 1 o'clock. That should be a deep dive, answering very specific questions from our business community. The Alaska Chamber is a little bit more Anchorage focused, so some of the questions aren't going to apply as specifically to us, but it will help give a really good idea to our business community what other businesses are going through, and maybe spur some new questions and help them get through those plans a little bit better. And then additionally, we have Mandate 17, which is very much centered among our fishing fleet. UFA is hosting a webinar on Wednesday the 29th at 10 a.m. to answer very specific questions about Mandate 17. So I don't have a specific link to send them to, but if they do, if anyone is interested in either of those webinars, they can reach out to the chamber at 486-5557 or email us at chamber@kodiak.org, and we will be able to send them links directly to those webinars.
Well, you guys have a webinar today, right?
That's still the U.S. Chamber.
The U.S. Chamber.
Or, I'm sorry.
Alaska.
There are so many meetings. I was on one with the U.S. Chamber before I came here, and then at 1 o'clock is the Alaska Chamber.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about a little bit about who's opening and what kind of problems that, you know, you are going to look at. You know, what kind of problems would a business have now complying?
Well, I think John brought up some really good ones, making sure you have the right hand sanitizer and hand washing stations. Those are compliance issues that businesses are going to be aware of. Verifying that patrons are wearing face coverings of some sort. Businesses will have to police that to the extent that they're able according to these mandates.
There's also a training component for employees to make sure that your employees understand the protocols they're supposed to follow and what to do if one of those people were to become sick. There's also a protocol where you could close your business for 72 hours instead of doing the full CDC deep clean. So I think we're going to see a variety of plans come out.
Well, I looked at that in terms of training your employees, and to my knowledge, you know, I haven't seen anything like that offered. You know, is it some sort of specialized training that's already exists in the restaurant industry, or is this something people are going to have to just kind of cook up on their own and say, yeah, I trained my folks on how to do this?
I hope that it exists in the restaurant industry. It makes me feel better.
Yeah. I mean, the restaurant industry in particular, though, has, you know, they have a lot of health mandates prior to COVID. So they have a lot of health protocols in terms of cleaning, sanitation that have to maintain. DEC's been inspecting them for years and years. But this is a whole different level because it's more of an operational level than a food safety issue. So I think each business is going to be, again, it's just the scale of the business. If it's a small business that you can only fit 5 people in, it's going to be different than a business that fits 60 people. So I think each business owner is going to be up to them to determine what the scale and the scope of their mitigation plan is. And I did want to point out, too, that if there's questions, I know that Sarah and Amy, you know, through the chamber, are willing to help or point them to resources so people – we don't want businesses to feel they're on their own.
Absolutely.
It's up to them, you know, figure it out yourself. And I think that's actually, I think I heard that the governor say that it's figure it out yourself, or somebody said that. But we don't want people to figure it out. We want our business to be successful. We need our business community to be successful. So that's part of the economic task force, the Chamber of Commerce, is to be a resource for them, whether it's health plans or even if it's trying what to do with the PPP program now that more money's been released. If people are struggling with that, we want to be here as a resource, either directly or indirectly, to help our businesses be successful.
Okay. Well, I know, John, you were in the processing industry for a long time, and this is beyond just normal preparations. When the processes were in a couple of weeks ago, they talked about the extra level of safeguards that they had to do, and I would just assume that restaurants are going to have to do more than what they did before just to do general, you know, in the general course of their business, to do extra sanitation around the doorknobs and the bathrooms and whatever else it is that you need to do.
Well, my son is a chef, you might know, in back east, and he and I talked about this whole concept of opening at 25% capacity, and I'm personally really struggling with that because if a business in normal times only operated at 25% capacity, they wouldn't last very long.
Right.
So I think that each business is going to have to evaluate, especially a restaurant, is going to have to evaluate whether that level of activity actually makes financial sense for them, and they will or they won't open. So you know, we'll see how that goes.
Mike, I have a question from somebody about what happens if we get a spike in cases. If we slowly start to open up, how prepared are we to react to that?
Well, that's a good question, and I'm glad you asked. We've been discussing that here at the EOC. What we're going to be doing is following the direction of the medical community. A couple cases here and there that aren't going to spread greater than couple cases that are confined to one space. There's going to be some different complex reasoning on how we would contract, but if we see a need to contract, we're going to issue an immediate statement and pull this back in a little bit. So we're prepared. That's why we like this phased rollout, so that we can keep our eye on this. You know, again, we're fortunate we don't have widespread cases in Kodiak, but our goal is to prevent that as well. So we're going to continue to monitor, and then if need be, we'll contract. But hopefully people abide by the safety protocols and travel restrictions and social distancing, washing your hands. The hygiene is so important. And I can't emphasize enough wearing those masks in public. That's why the EOC has contracted with the mask makers, the Kodiak mask makers, to make 2,000 at the start to provide masks to our community.
I think Mike makes a really good point there, and our business community needs to understand this, is that if we do see a spike in cases, that, you know, the EOC is going to contract, going to pull its restrictions back, but should act as a motivator, as an encourager, to put together a really well thought out plan and then operationalize that plan. So it's just not, okay, the doors are open, let's go back to normal. That I think the businesses should understand that this is in essence a trial, and hopefully it's a successful trial, but it's not. If it doesn't work, then we're going to have to rethink this. So again, it should encourage businesses to really take these mitigation plans seriously, not just open the doors because they really feel like they need to open the doors.
Yeah.
That's a great point, and a great time to also mention so many of our businesses are open even though their doors may not be open. They do still have online shopping available. So just because a business hasn't put together a mitigation plan yet or isn't comfortable opening their doors, we want to make sure people know Kodiak is still open for business in one way or another. So do still go get your takeout food. Do still go online shopping. We have some really fantastic businesses that have worked really hard to get their websites with all their products available or doing personalized virtual shopping. So we may not see businesses open all the way today. We may not see things even happening all the way within the next week or two. So just again, we'd like to encourage everyone, businesses have amazing opportunities for you to still shop and support them. And it is still very important to do that because our businesses are hurting right now. If we don't support them now, we're not going to have the opportunity to a month, 2, 3, 6 months from now.
Yeah. Monica, I want to ask you a little bit about the original mandate that took the control away from the local communities and that has now been put back in. Was that sort of a shot out of nowhere?
It was like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a shot out of nowhere because the local communities have always had control in their own area, and that's the way the government is set up. And for the governor to take that away was a real surprise, because as I mentioned earlier, he's been discussing how he's working daily with communities and how the communities have the ability to control their own reopening. And then to come and retract that suddenly without any correspondence to our municipalities was a shock to, I'm sure, every local community.
So that was quickly reversed. So now we do have local authority to do whatever we
think. Yeah, that was reversed within 24 hours.
Okay.
So that's where part of that confusion came in, but we're back on track again. We had a plan in place, and like I said, it was an educational rollout so that people could be ready to open up on May 1st. Now, don't be confused. Businesses are opening now in town, and we're just asking you to link up with us and get the information that's needed for your community, your business, and to protect our community. There's a lot to digest. So as the participants have said, there's a lot of information out there. Please ask questions if you need to.
If I could just follow up on what Sarah said a couple minutes ago, I think is a really important point, is that if you remember maybe a week or so ago, there was a huge outpouring of support for Orpheum Theater. You know, people were concerned, you know, for Rusty and the, so they, it was a great deal. I mean, popcorn and hot dogs, whatever it was, on a, just to go by and pick it up.
Which is happening tonight and right. Saturday night as well.
But I think my point is, over the last, you know, 30-plus days that we've been in this situation, is that people have got used to buying other than the groceries and the local stores open, that people have changed their buying patterns. And so a lot of those businesses have been closed, you know, people not frequent anymore. So we really, and the city actually is going to be putting together a local ad campaign with the help of the chamber. Chamber's doing it. We're helping support it. Is to, we really want an enhanced buy local campaign, and that, you know, we've heard that term buy local so many times, so many years, and people maybe get so desensitized to that concept. But I think now more than ever, we need to support these local businesses, because in some cases we just got out of the habit of shopping there, but we really, really need to support them, whether it's a bookstore or a shoe store, whatever it is. We need to support them because they're really the lifeblood of our community.
And it keeps the money in the town.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We have a lot of questions coming in about enforcement, you know. In particular about the essential businesses that are all already open and people not wearing, not using the appropriate amount of distancing and not wearing masks. And then there's the overall question of, you know, how are we going to enforce this as a community? I know that there's some sanctions written into the mandates, but from what I understood from the last few times we talked, we don't want to go down that road. So how, you know, is it going to be voluntary compliance for the essential businesses that, you know, aren't already requiring people for masks? What's the role that the police have in this whole situation?
Well, once again, we're not going to go police businesses to see if they're in compliant at this time. We don't have any reason to suspect that that's going to be the need. For those businesses that feel they don't need to comply, I wish they would reconsider, because we're not only talking about their customers, we're not only talking about people they don't know, we're talking about people that are related to them, we're talking about themselves. There's a risk out there. We continue to test in our community. As of this morning, we've conducted 268 COVID-19 tests. We have three that are still pending. So we're still testing people. There's still symptoms out there that are possibly, I hate to even use the plus word, okay? But we're still testing. There's a need in our community. So we're not in this incubation free period right now. So I wish people would just understand that we're living in the world of COVID-19 right now. Hopefully that will change in the future, but what you do could affect others. So the importance there is to read the mandates. I know some people are not so fond of that, but it's to protect yourself and others.
I think it's really unfortunate too that the way this has been rolled out, and it's not, it's at the state level, is that putting the onus on businesses to ensure that customers coming in must wear masks and these non-essential businesses, I think is a really, really, putting business in a really, really difficult spot. So we're just hoping that customers will be, I think, in compassionate understanding about this and comply to the maximum extent.
I mean, that, you'd have to put you in a terrible position if you're there and people want to come into your business that's open and you have to turn them away.
And I think that's exactly the point. I think businesses, especially they've been closed some time and they're financially stressed, it's very, very difficult to say you can't come in unless you wear a mask. But again, I think that's going to self-regulate to a certain extent. I think people are going to react in a way that to their comfort level. So it's like Mike said, and the city is not going to enforce within the city limits, but there's also business outside the city limits. Who's going to enforce that? So this whole enforcement thing, I think, is a really tricky situation. So which our hope is and expectation is that the businesses will have the mitigation plan in place, they'll have the signage, and that customers will be respectful.
So it's self-policing by the community. I mean, if you want to do what's best for yourself, you're only going to frequent those places that have the check mark on the door, and when you walk in, you feel safe.
Right.
Yeah. there has to be more things that you could talk about. I mean, we have a couple of minutes left, but I don't have any further questions from anybody.
There's really, I think this look you're getting from this entire group is we have so much information in our brains that it is hard to
pick out what's important.
Exactly. Pick out the important things that we're not going to talk on for another full hour.
I think the important takeaways are just as a consumer, remember your social distancing protocols. No matter what businesses are open, please try to keep those around you as safe as possible. And for the businesses, you have a wealth of resources. Please contact the PIO, and Sarah has the phone number written down, so I'm going to read it one more time. Their phone number is 486-8970. And please reach out to the resources that you have, whether it's the chamber or the PIO, and get the help that you need, because there are people ready to make this as safe as an opening as we can.
And we don't want the business owners to feel alone. We don't want them to feel like they're isolated and that the burden is entirely theirs. We want our businesses to be successful. We need them to be successful.
And whether it's struggling with this template or the mitigation plan or the PPP, we can find any business a mentor to help them with whatever problem they are having.
So in other words, do you offer services to people if they call you and say, hey, look, man, I don't do very well with this online stuff. Can
exactly.
you help me fill out the plan?
Yes. The chamber will find a mentor to help them fill out that plan.
Okay. How about resources like sanitation things and masks? I mean, do we have a resource for that that's enough to get everybody open?
Again, it really comes down to business-specific needs, and so that's where that mentor program is going to help each individual business. So I am not going to set up a small single sole proprietor business with a mentor that is a fish processing plant, you know. So different businesses have those different resource needs. So again, that large distributor of masks that the processing plant works with is not going to be the same that we set up a sole proprietor with. So we will find that business mentor that matches most similarly the needs that the business has.
Yeah, that's actually a really good question too. And I'd suggest that, you know, as we go forward, if we see that becomes a problem, that people can't acquire the hand sanitizer or whatever it is, the hand wipes, whatever it is they need, that we might want to take a look, whether it's through the EOC or however we do it, is coming up with a single source of supply to offer to our businesses so they're not struggling to find these. So that's actually,
I think that's a pretty good question, John.
That we find a group solution for this to help our businesses be more successful in that endeavor.
I could add to that.
Okay.
So for those that are struggling for PPE or hygiene supplies, you can put a request into the local emergency operations center here, and we can up that request to the state emergency operations center at Fort Richardson and receive some supplies. We've received a few shipments already from the state, and we've been sharing those with our community. So mostly it's been for the nonprofits right now, but we have access to additional resources through the state EOC.
Great.
Just need to put the request into us.
Perfect.
I have a request from a listener again for a repeat on the free mask information.
Okay. I'm glad you said free. I don't think I've been saying free enough. So the masks are available beginning today at 11 o'clock through 1 o'clock, or if we run out sooner. We have 400 available today. There's someone in front of the Gerald C. Auditorium at the high school. Just drive up. The Kodiak Community Support Team has got members there to hand out masks to you and your family. Again, they're free. Please take advantage of this. We'll be there till we run out, or 1 o'clock today. And we'll be back again on Monday, same time, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. for another distribution. So we have, let me do some quick math. We've got about 1,500 masks or something like that to give out over the course of time.
Okay.
We've already given out a few, 500, I think.
I'm going to let each of you plug your information out to the people. If somebody has questions, where's the best place that they can go to get an answer?
You get this look because it depends on their questions, but if there is just overall general questions about information in the community, whether it's business or resources or healthcare, KodiakEconomicTaskForce.com has everything very easily spelled out. There's a tab for each and every situation. So www.KodiakEconomicTaskForce.com is a really easy solution for information that will link you into the small business mandates, the templates that are available. That's going to link into, I'm not sure if we have the mask information up yet, but we will probably within about an hour. And so literally anything can happen right there. Very specific business questions in regard to mitigation plans should go to the Public Information Office. That number is 486-8970. Those mitigation plans can be emailed to safety@city.kodiak.ak.us. And just in general, if you guys need help, call the chamber. We are easy to get a hold of. You might have to leave a voicemail because everything is forwarding directly to my phone. So I do follow up on every single voicemail that we get. And so that number is 486-5557.
Bianca, the kind of questions that you kind of commonly would take.
Sorry. Oh, for the PIO, we answer just about every kind of question. So we're answering some of these new business questions. We've had folks calling us about the harbor use agreements. We can answer questions generally about how we are handling the emergency here locally. We're just a great general information place regarding our local response to this, and can help issue those templates and any state mandated information out to anyone who reaches out to us through email, which is pio@city.kodiak.ak.us. You can reach out to us by phone, 486-8970, or through our Facebook page, which is Kodiak Emergency Operations Center. So we can try to help you answer just about any question you've got or point you in the right direction.
And some of those questions have been coming from our Kodiak villages as well. So we're supporting them as much as we can.
There's a big question. I mean, how do the mandates affect what's going on in the villages?
Same thing.
Same things. They have to operate in the same way. I only asked that question about who to call because the volume of paper that's being generated through this and over the last couple of days is tremendous, you know. And I'm thinking that for most people, they're going to get confused and they're not going to want to go through piles of paperwork. They just want a kind of a handy dandy. I operate this kind of a business, you know. I want to do this kind of thing. Is it okay to do that? And if I do it, how do I do it? So
our website, that KodiakEconomicTaskForce.com, if you get to the health mandate, it's the way the state numbers them is 016. So that's what the name of the page is. That has all the attachments listed out and then what those attachments are. So if you're a restaurant, you're going to go to attachment F. If you're, you know, whatever you are, it's all listed. So you can just click on your applicable attachment and read that information that's applicable to your business. That should help you find your information faster.
But, okay, on the header of these things, the first thing it says almost is effective April 24th, you know?
Yes.
So I'm thinking that we have a local organization that's saying, We want to go in accordance with the governor's plan, but today's April 24th, right?
It is all
so,
day.
So maybe another way to look at that is that I think as we're evolving into this next phase is the EOC has actually been doing everything, with the PIOs are taking care of everything, but I think we're developing to this area now where businesses are reopening. And there's a lot of information they need, practical business information and assistance they need, and that should probably be directed to the chamber or the task force, whereas the state regulatory public health issues still have to go to the EOC because they're the ones, the controlling agency for that. But we're here Sarah and Amy from the chamber and Discover Kodiak are here to offer business assistance, business resource assistance. So I think it would be most helpful to look at it in that way. If you need help filling out the paperwork or how to restart a business or whatever it might be, these are the folks that can point in the right direction. And as Mike said and as Bianca said, you know, they're the ones that can help with mandates or harbor issues. They're the ones that have the best information there. Great. So it's sort of diverging somewhat here.
Contact either one of us and you'll get the information you need. That's it.
In a short and easy fashion, yep. No doubt. That's all the questions I have for today, unless you guys will need to talk about something that we may have forgotten.
No, we appreciate the opportunity to be here. Thank you. Mike is so busy. It's nice that he was able to join us. And John, too, thank you for coming in. The EOC is a great resource, so don't forget that they're there and reach out to them if you guys are having issues.
Okay. All right. You have a safe weekend, everybody, and call someone if you have questions.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.